For many Americans, the holiday season kicks into high gear the day after Thanksgiving. In Bloomington, an annual ritual on that day not only creates a warm glow for the holidays, but has been part of a larger movement to rekindle the spirit of downtown. Our very own Yael Cassander is one of the many in the community who eagerly await this yearly tradition.
It's 7 p.m. on the Friday after Thanksgiving, and I'm one of an estimated 6,000 people crowded into Bloomington's downtown square to witness a yearly spectacle so breathtaking, we're willing to brave sub-freezing temperatures and plenty of jostling.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The square is suddenly transformed into a magical fairyland by millions of tiny white lights sparkling across the branches of trees, the edges of buildings, and over our heads in a canopy radiating out from the courthouse dome. Every evening through December and into early January, the downtown will shimmer like this.
It brings a variety of people to the downtown to celebrate as a community from all walks of life.
Talisha Kopic is the executive director of Downtown Bloomington, Inc., one of the key players in maintaining the canopy of lights.
It's just warm and cozy, and, you know, there's just nothing better than going out for dinner downtown and just stroll underneath the lights and bring children, because those really, really will be memories.
But memories of a vibrant, viable downtown were all that Bloomington old-timers had at one time in the not-too-distant past. Shot in Bloomington in 1979, the Oscar-winning motion picture Breaking Away features footage of a fairly weary-looking square.
I think the aluminum storefront salesman did very well in the 50s and 60s.
Tom Gallagher was the first downtown director.
Because there was a lot of the historic buildings that were covered up with these new fashioned facades.
Once the mall opened in the 60s, downtown began to lose some of its major businesses.
Glenda Murray was Bloomington's first redevelopment director.
Then the population started to move. Most of the new development, the new housing construction, was in the east and the southeast.
At the dawn of the 80s, there were plenty of empty storefronts on the square.
And these buildings were leaning against themselves, not structurally sound.
It may be hard to believe, but even the square's crown jewel, the 1907 courthouse, stared down the wrecking ball.
There were some people that thought we should just tear it down and build a new structure because it's old.
Historic preservation was still a relatively new idea, as far as most people were concerned, in the 1970s and into the early 1980s. And the idea was it's old and it would cost so much to fix it up, so let's just tear it down and start over.
But in Bloomington, as in many other increasingly decentralized cities and towns across the country, a growing number of people started to rethink urban planning. Glenda Murray came to work for Mayor Tomalia Allison in 1984.
Mayor Allison was extremely interested in downtown revitalization. So in the summer of 1984, she and I trekked off to Toledo, Ohio, to a National Main Street training session.
The National Main Street Program was an initiative of the National Trust for Historic Preservation.
So they were talking about fixing up buildings, but also the economic development and making it a more enjoyable place to be. And as we were coming back, she said, that's what we have to do, create a downtown organization that will then work on these issues on a regular basis.
So they put together a commission.
And in those days, we had bank presidents and the managers from the major industries and so forth on this commission. And by 1985, we were able to hire our first downtown director, and that was Tom Gallagher.
I remember in the first week or two, Glenda said to me, plan something big for downtown. And I said, well, like what? And she said, something big. So finally, I decided that I would do a large audio system and put speakers on every corner. I didn't know what kind of music. I knew types of music might be problematic with some people. I thought about the loops that it would have to be on to be constant. And when I researched it, it was quite expensive to have a quality enough audio sound that would carry over that much area. So I was making my rounds and trying to raise some money for this sound system. And I walked into Sullivan's clothing store on Washington Street and spoke with Bob Sullivan Sr. And I told him my whole plan, and he listened politely. And he got a kind of a dreamy look in his eyes and said, you know, they used to string lights from the courthouse dome to the buildings around the square, and it was so beautiful.
The tradition that the late Bob Sullivan Sr. was remembering dated to mid-century, but there's evidence that the custom was even older than that. In the archives of the Monroe County History Center, a sepia-tone photograph from the 1930s shows the square at night with Christmas lights strung from the rotunda to the buildings on four sides. Leaving Sullivan's shop that day in 1985, Tom noticed something interesting.
I looked up at a building and I saw this L-shaped bracket that was all old and rusty. And I realized that must have been a tie-off for one of the cables. And as I walked around the square, I noticed two, three, four more of them. Some were missing. And so I started researching it.
Although specific memories of it were scant, the tradition held a place in Bloomington's collective unconscious, and Tom was able to rally the troops to resurrect the canopy of lights. Cassidy Electric and Pritchett Brothers Construction, along with Ellington Tree Experts and Michael Pollock of Perennial Designs, came on board immediately.
It took a lot of people to come together to make that happen. They just bent over backwards to help. We had very little time at this point. There was 6 weeks before the day after Thanksgiving when we were going to have the lighting, and we worked a lot of that time. The Saturday before the lighting, we were putting the finishing touches on the electrical on top of the courthouse, and we had an ice storm. So we were sliding all around the top of the courthouse, and but we got the job done.
It was warm the day after Thanksgiving in 1985.
The weather was 60 degrees.
But the holiday spirit was indomitable.
We roasted chestnuts on an open fire. We had hot mulled apple cider. We gave away real live mistletoe in cards. And we did a very accurate count that first year. It was just about 700 people showed up. And we felt that a tradition had begun.
The crowd at the 25th lighting ceremony in 2009 was almost 10 times that at the original event. Along the way, CFC and Indiana University have joined forces with the city and county to maintain the tradition. At the same time, downtown Bloomington is enjoying new life, as Talisha Kopic explained in Real Numbers.
25 years later, over 200 buildings have been renovated, 20 new buildings have been built, hundreds and hundreds of new businesses have come in.
Looking at that photo of the courthouse in the 30s, you see that all the parking spaces were full and the shop windows illuminated. Economic vitality was key, but there was something more.
It was the core of the community. It was where everyone gathered. You know, this whole idea of community is coming around nationwide.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Yael Cassander.
The canopy of lights dazzles Bloomington's downtown square every evening from now through early January. There's a link to that 1907 photo of the Monroe County Courthouse strung with lights, along with other photos of the canopy of lights on our website, wfiu.org/arts.